after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hetherington.
Present.
Commissioner Jack.
Here.
Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Here.
Commissioner Slane.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie.
Here.
Chairperson O'Keefe.
Here.
All present.
To the speakers, please direct your comments to the entire commission and not to any individual commissioner. And please do not use slanderous, profane, or negative personal remarks concerning individuals absent or present. And to the audience, I ask that you be respectful and courteous to the speakers and refrain from vocal expressions of approval or disapproval, such as clapping or heckling. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So approved.
Second.
I mean, so moved.
Did you figure out who it was?
Jets. Commissioner Jack and Vice Chairperson Fonzie.
Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Slane?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
7-0, motion passes.
Disclosure of ex parte communication. Prior to a project hearing, Planning Commission members must disclose any communications they have had on any quasi-judicial agenda items. This includes, but is not limited to, tentative subdivision maps, parcel maps, variances, conditional use permits, and plan development permits. This does not disqualify the Planning Commission members from participating and voting on the matter, but gives to the public and applicant an opportunity to comment on the ex parte communication, starting with Commissioner Hetherington. We'll go down the line.
I have nothing to report.
Visited the site in item number 2.
Nothing to report.
Nothing to report.
I spoke with Assistant City Manager Jim Lewis.
Nothing to report.
I visited the site. Spoke to no one.
Okay, this is the time reserved for public comment. For persons wishing to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda and over which the commission has jurisdiction, speakers are limited to 5 minutes. Please state.
Item number 2. And the recording of the vote lists Commissioner Marks as abstaining. I think Commissioner Marks recused himself, which I do not think is the same as an abstention, but I would be willing to stand corrected if that's the case. So.
Did you want me to respond to that? I've been told by the city attorney that I mark that as an abstention when they leave the room.
That is our understanding of it.
Okay. All right. So once again, she was correct. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
No, the minute.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Slane?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
7-0, motion passes.
Okay, we have one public hearing, and that's a zone text amendment for the PD9. We have the staff report.
Good evening, members of the commission. The project before you tonight is a zoning text amendment to the PD9 overlay zone. So what the proposed zone text is for is to add hotels and motels to the list of conditionally allowed uses in the PD9 overlay zone. The PD9 overlay zone, for a little bit of background, is a site-specific overlay zone that's applied to the partially developed Home Depot Center. The Home Depot is constructed, the Staples store in this area is constructed, and the master plan actually spans both sides of El Camino Real, both east and west in that area. So the project site is zoned commercial park, which is geared towards light industrial type uses, except for larger planned centers where there's an anchor tenant. The PD9 PD9 overlay zone was approved in this location to eliminate the more industrial-type uses that are conditionally allowed in that zone and limit those conditional uses to a specific list, which is in the PD9 zoning text. In addition, there was an approved master plan of development for the project site, which further limits the uses to those that are allowed, and any changes would require an amendment to that master plan. So shown on the current master plan of development are retail uses, drive-through restaurants, gas stations, things of the UP process. However, the PD text in any of our PD zones were not updated to be consistent with those changes. So as it stands right now, the master plan of development is the approved document for the Home Depot location and does allow one drive-through restaurant, whether it's listed as an allowed or conditionally allowed or not listed at all use. But staff is recommending that we add eating and drinking places with a drive-through facility to the PD9 text for conditional uses, just so that we can have some consistency and clarify for future development. The project, the zone text change did qualify for a negative declaration. There were no impacts. Any impacts that would result from a future hotel or any other change to the master plan being done would be analyzed at the time of that conditional use permit application. And so just for the purposes of this zoning text, which is all this project is focused on tonight, it was found that there were no environmental impacts. So there are findings included in the resolution for certification of the neg deck and the zone text amendment. And as always, the Planning Commission has three alternatives that are listed in your staff report. So staff is recommending that you adopt the resolution before you this evening and include eating and drinking places with drive-through facilities to the list of conditionally allowed uses. And that concludes staff's presentation. We're available if you have any questions.
Are there any questions? Go ahead. Commissioner O'Grady was first.
Could you go back to your slide on the master plan of development? Perhaps you could elaborate a little bit more where the, if I understood it correctly, the PD says nothing about hotels and motels and eating and drinking establishments. But then I thought your other slide said something that there was an approved master plan that allows restaurants, for example. How can the master plan of development be inconsistent with the PD in the general plan?
The PD9 overlay text simply limits the list of conditionally allowed uses. And so all of the allowed uses still revert back to the original CPK zoning designation. So all of those uses that are currently allowed in the CPK 1,000 square feet, the following uses shall be permitted. Those list a certain number of uses. And then I don't know where eating and drinking places falls in the CPK zoning designation, but I think Warren can probably pull that up if we go to another question in the meantime.
Oh, I thought I had that marked, but
it's Y on 358, page 358 of the zoning manual.
Okay, thank you, Doug. I see that. In the general plan, there's a noise element. And looking at the map that you included in your report, looked like it overlapped or corresponded with the strip alongside 101 that had some restrictions on it, specifically for noise-sensitive areas such as hotels and motels. Could you comment on that?
We don't have an application for a hotel or a motel yet, so any application for that similar to the West Front Village project and that particular hotel adjacent to the freeway, they were required to do a noise analysis as part of their permitting applications, and there are certain upgrades if the noise level is exceeding what's required that can be done to the hotel to allow them to be in compliance, certain additional windows that block out additional sound. So if there were to be an application for a hotel or a motel, they would have to go through that same process and implement those same mitigation measures.
So listing this use in that particular noise-sensitive area, that's not an issue? It's not an issue until there's an actual application? Is that what you're saying?
Correct, yeah. Our zoning ordinance is a very broad definition of what uses could be allowed in a particular area, and until there's an application, we don't analyze specific details.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fonsi?
Kelly, could you clarify, is there a difference between restaurants and eating and drinking businesses?
No, in our code, eating and drinking places are restaurants. However, we did separate out the drink. I think you're referring to that last section of the PD9 text that mm-hmm. talked about an on-site sewer
Correct.
Disposal system. When the Home Depot Center was constructed, they did extend the urban services line and extend the sewer. So there's currently sewer available out there. There are a couple of reimbursement districts, so anything that would be constructed would buy into that. But there is sewer service available that
Hope
Septa City
okay.
Sewer. Yes.
Great. So we can strike that last item? On the condition.
Yeah, you could recommend that the council modify
okay.
the PD, sure.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Was the additional language in our packets, or is this something new tonight?
For the eating and drinking places, that's new tonight. It was just brought to our attention, I think, yesterday.
Doesn't that need to be noticed?
I don't know. You need to ask the question to the planners.
Don't these items need to be noticed
well,
and
I think
can't
we,
be just added?
We've noticed that we're amending PD9. We think it's within your discretion to add that additional use. We think it's fairly minor in that it's already something that's reflected in the master plan. It's more of a clarification. The commission does have, you know, concerns about that, would recommend that you not add it and just recommend the hotel change, because it's really just a minor cleanup to add that use.
I guess I have some concerns with putting a hotel up at that end, because there's no now eating or drinking establishments other than I think the Starbucks up there. And every hotel, and I usually am a very frugal traveler, that I've stayed at that's been backed up to some sort of big box store is not a very attractive place to be staying, even though sometimes they cost lower. When the PD9 overlay happened, was there any discussion at that time of what the build-out of this area was going to look like?
There is the approved master plan of development that's currently on the site that in this particular area shows two retail buildings and then a gas station in this area. Additionally, adjacent to the Staples building, there's approval for an additional retail building in that location, and I think these other two are built out down here. So this is currently the approved master plan of development, would be for more retail focused uses, but they have not been constructed at this time, most of them.
What does that mean?
So adding it as a conditional use does mean that they have to go through the conditional use permit process in addition to amending the master plan of development. So at that time, we do re-review the proposed use in terms of the environmental impact. So it's not just a building permit. It's not an allowed use that just gets to be built. It's a conditional use permit that goes through review with the Planning Commission for landscape screening, noise, any additional traffic impacts. Those sorts of elements all get analyzed during the conditional use permit process.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Out of respect for the folks who prepared the zoning ordinances, can you, I mean, hotels and motels are pretty much, in my opinion, glaringly excluded or not mentioned there with so many other uses, as if the folks, when they put this Article 12 commercial park designation together, really did not want to have hotels and motels in there. Can you give me any historical information about what their thinking was for not putting hotels and motels in the zoning that we have today?
I wouldn't even know where to start to tell you. I don't have that background information.
May I just give you my understanding? The CPK zone, it's called commercial park. In reality, it's a light industrial district. That's why we have, you know, the metal buildings along El Camino and 101 in that area. I'm not exactly sure why they did not rezone the Home Depot site to some sort of commercial designation originally when this project came through in 98. There was a provision in the CPK zone where you could do a commercial project, which isn't allowed in the CPK, but once you had a 20,000 square foot anchor, then it kind of creates a whole new set of allowable uses, which is the retail uses, the hardware store, that sort of thing. So although none of those uses are allowed in the CPK, there is this provision where you could do a master plan center that has a whole new set of uses. So while I think staff agrees that adding hotels throughout the CPK is not appropriate because that isn't the purpose of the district, there is this provision in the CPK for the master plan center subject to then the PD. So from staff's perspective, established on it, really isn't a CPK zone anymore. It is underneath, but with the PD and the other uses, it's really a commercial retail area that's been created. It was kind of a convoluted process that was established back in 98 to get there, and it probably wasn't the best way to do it. But at this point, adding hotels just to be allowed at that shopping center does seem like that would be consistent with the other uses that are on the site or planned for the site in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Frace. That was very helpful.
I think that was pretty good, too. I have a couple questions. On page 11, under the proposed environmental determination, second sentence, it says the document identified potential impacts which are mitigated, but you said that there weren't any.
There are no impacts from the zone text change. What the document spoke to, the NEGDEC spoke to in the discussion section, was that, yes, there could be potential impacts if you actually constructed a hotel, but that because that was a conditional use, the nature of the zoning text amendment would allow those impacts to be analyzed during the conditional use permit process. So just for the zone text change, there were no impacts because we set it up as a conditional use and not an allowed use.
And that was the negative deck was only analyzing the zone text change.
That's the only project that's before us. We don't have an application for a hotel. So.
And then on page 33. It looks like you're eliminating a number of other ones, sales lots, small scale manufacturing, temporary events, etc. Is that correct?
That's just the way that the track changes look, so it's basically changing the numbering so that hotels and motels can fit in as number 10 and then it renumbers.
Oh, that's all it is. Okay. All right. That's my questions. I'll open it up to the applicant. Is there anybody here? There isn't anybody, so I'll close. Is there anybody from the public that wants to talk? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and return it to the commissioners for either further discussion and a vote. Commissioner Fonsi.
I'd just like to share some information I got from the assistant city manager, Jim Lewis. I called him up and asked him if there was any benefit to a motel. We have 60% occupancy. You can do the math that you would have to spend quite a bit of money in a store to come up with that much tax revenue directly to the city. So basically what he was telling me is that the hotel is actually a little more beneficial from the business point of view for sales tax for the city.
Thank you. I think it also provides more options for potential applicants to to come in and build. Also, something else that's happened. In 98, we were not thinking of ourselves as a destination place. It was, well, Atascadero only fills their motels and hotels when everybody else is filled. And with the emphasis on tourism, I think that's also changed. Okay, Commissioner Hetherington.
I guess I have a couple of concerns. We have two hotels in the works right now. One's probably halfway through, and another one's just started. We have the Carlton. We have the Motel 6. Do we know, either Kelly or Warren, what the occupancy rates are for those existing hotels right now?
I don't think we know exactly what our occupancy rate is. I think for them to be open, they tend to have to be, you know, in the 50 to 60% range. I think what we do know from what we've heard is most of our hotels, with the exception of the Carlton, aren't competitive. They're older properties. They're not attracting the same type of tourist that is coming to this area nowadays. We've been meeting with some specialists, and actually on the Eagle Ranch property, we're in the process of having a consultant hired that specializes in just hotel and hospitality issues, and is going to prepare a feasibility study. But one of the things he told us is that as you get into these tourist markets, like we're starting to see here in the North County, the more hotels, the better. That the more hotels you have, the more people come, and the more hotels you need. That one or two hotels won't be successful, but as you add more and more hotels, it actually just makes the area more attractive to tourists and the traveling public. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I think, you know, these big chains that are coming here, they know why they want to be here. They are very sophisticated in their market analysis, and
for more compact pedestrian scale development through intensification of commercially designated land uses. I'm trying to visualize a hotel there and what people would do that were staying at the hotel. I mean, if we're looking for pedestrian friendly, I mean, Home Depot closes at whatever time it closes. It's not open in the evening. We're not looking at something that's pedestrian friendly at this point. So I'm thinking that this is premature. I'm sure if that a hotel or a motel were to come and make an offer, that the commission would, or at least I would look at it differently, rather than saying we're just going to, you know, change the zoning right now in the hope that somebody is coming. So
I have a problem with that one, too, because it's not that I have a problem with the hotel, because all the proposed hotels are not going to be encouraging pedestrians. They're not located in places where pedestrians are going to be doing any walking. So I'm really quite curious why you put that in. It just seems like it was one of those bullet points that you automatically add to everything, and it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't seem necessary.
I think if you wanted to take it out of the resolution, to be clear, you definitely could recommend that in your motion.
Okay. I would like to see that deleted, just simply because it doesn't make sense in that. Again, not that I'm opposed to making the text change, but hotels oftentimes are not located in areas where you want easy on and off access. That's primarily what it is. Mm-hmm. You have a problem with that? Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
Commissioner Jack.
Joan, where specifically was that?
It's on page 31.
At the top.
It's the first paragraph.
Okay, thank you.
That's all.
When I was looking up on the internet definitions of hotels and motels and the sort of amenities that each offer, in general, hotels offer restaurants. And I'm thinking that may be one way to reduce vehicle miles traveled if whatever is proposed at that site does offer a restaurant. That way people don't have to drive back.
But the wording isn't there to allow it, so before they go forward, they want to get some sort of a feel as to where we're coming from on it. And I'm for adding the wording. I mean, we still have complete control over what goes on there when a project is finally brought to us. And I hate to put more roadblocks up.
I don't think we're talking about, we couldn't put any in there anyway, because right now we're not getting into specifics. We're just adding another use.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right, exactly. I understand that.
Okay.
And that's, so
unless
why
I misunderstood,
not add the words?
Did I misunderstand you?
No, not at all. It was just a comment.
Yeah, it was just a comment for if and when one comes before us, then it's a conditional use permit. And
we
can evaluate.
Directing, I was not commenting directly
to
Commissioner Marks's comments. I was just commenting.
Does somebody want to make a motion?
I'll try a motion.
And would you consider the deletion of that first paragraph, since it simply doesn't make any sense in there?
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Would you also consider revising paragraph F to say any development shall be served by a city sewage system, period?
That would be part of the conditional use permit, though. Well, let's ask for clarification.
It's actually listed.
Okay.
The topic is on page 34, paragraph F. It currently says any development shall be served by an on-site sewage disposal system. So I want to make sure that this PD9 overlay is modified to require that going in and not.
How difficult would that be at this stage?
The sewer's already extended there, so that would just be a clarification.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. Well, then that's not an addition, is it? Since it's already there,
it would simply be cleaning up PD9 so that anybody reading it in the future would know that sewer's available and they'd be required to hook up.
Yeah, we would eliminate that.
We'll eliminate it.
Right.
Okay.
Have we addressed the restaurant and drive-through issue
before?
Do we need to change any text or add any text?
If you wanted to add eating and drinking places with drive-through facilities as a clarification, you would just add that to the motion.
Yes,
I
understand that. So let me go ahead and make the motion, and if we need any additional discussion, we can go there. And paragraph F under, how would I state that?
Section F from PD9.
Okay, from PD9.
A second for discussion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Discussion?
Yeah, I could go with this if you would delete the drive-through facilities and just left it at eating and drinking places.
Well, since we already have one, would that cause a problem for the existing business in place, Starbucks?
One was allowed in the original, is that correct?
The master plan is the approved document, and back when the master plan was approved, the drive-through facility was allowed. So it's simply a clarification for their use. If you didn't add eating and drinking places with drive-through facilities and left it as is, the Starbucks would still be an allowed use in that area.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Yes. I would like to reiterate my request about paragraph F on page 34, that instead of saying any development shall be served by a on-site sewage disposal system, I would like it to be amended, not deleted, but amended to say any development shall be served by a city sewage system, so that that language is in place going forward, and that future planning commissions and city councils would understand our intent that it be served by city sewer.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. That's fine.
Okay. All right. So the change has been accepted by the maker motion. What about the second?
I agree. I second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Did we decide on the drive-through?
Commissioner Hetherington said she couldn't support it, but it
stays.
It's still in there.
Okay. Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Slane?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
No.
Vice Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Keefe?
Yes.
6-1, motion passes.
Okay. That concludes the public hearings. And are there any commissioner comments and reports? I have a question. I am still not clear what we do under planning commission. What goes under
the items we discussed last time about the abstention and things like that made sense to take care of because they're a more formal business. I think commissioner comments is at the end where I think it's more kind of housekeeping items and informal things that really aren't of probably interest to the public and won't affect the meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Any other? Go ahead, Commissioner Fonzie.
I have some housekeeping items then. I was wondering if staff would mind putting into the reports when a project lies within the redevelopment district boundary, that sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. And it would be helpful to know that without having to look it up.
Okay, that's a good point.
And also, I had a question about the minutes. If you take a look at the minutes, I had corresponded with Grace regarding this also. The minutes, if you look at them, they're very thorough, and this is not meant as a criticism in any way to you, Grace, because they're always excellent. But if you look at the minutes and, let's say, to our item on the motorcycle use. It always states the negatives, the things when people dissent and choose to vote no on a project, but it doesn't state the positives. So you have comments from those who are dissenting and not comments from those who are in favor. And I thought it was a little unbalanced and asked Grace why that was, because it would seem helpful to the City Council if they had the full picture and had comments on every item from as many commissioners as chose to put comments in. And I don't know if anyone else had concerns about this or had noticed this, but it's just something that has been bothering me because I don't see all of the information present in the minutes.
Well, usually if I want something, then I make a point of asking for it to be, and then I kind of assume that that's how she operates.
Would you like me to respond?
Is that right? Go ahead.
I emailed you back. I don't know
yes,
if you didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've been instructed by the city clerk that the way these are summary minutes, so basically we don't go into a lot of your discussions back and forth. But when someone votes against something, she wants a brief summary of their reasons for voting against it, and she didn't necessarily want anything on the pro side. It was just because we're assuming if you're voting for it, you're in favor of what's in the motion. And there isn't a need to explain that. But if you are voting against it, there's a need for some explanation, especially on the items that go before the City Council again. So that's how
you're so concerned.
Any other commissioner?
I do have some comments. Okay. I don't know if commission remembers. Some months back, we heard a lot split on Coramar, and it was a lot that had a caboose sitting on it. The reason it came before, as I recall, and I may be entirely wrong, but as I recall, it came before this commission because there were several tree removals. Those tree removals were predicated on not moving and removing that caboose. That caboose tended to have some emotional connection with the owner of the property and was going to be refurbished. Well, I was just by there yesterday or day before yesterday, and the caboose is gone, and the property is for sale. So my question is, how binding is what we did basing our decisions on what the property owner was telling us? How binding is that decision now?
I think we'll have to go back and research the conditions. I think had you made certain conditions specifically about preserving something, that would be binding. If you just use their testimony, that, you know, they liked the caboose a lot, so they wanted you to do something, and then you did that thing, that doesn't, then it isn't binding.
Okay.
So, you know, staff-wise, we can go do a little bit of research. We weren't aware that the caboose had left, so we could research and, I guess, you know, try to give you a report on what happened and whether or not the conditions were followed or not followed in this case.
Okay, that does happen.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure it does. A couple of other items. Yesterday, I received a comment from a downtown business owner. She was concerned about a tattoo parlor moving into the first floor of a two-story building. My question is, aren't first floors supposed to be retail? And that was her question. That was her question to me, and that was her understanding. Also, she was concerned, you know, is a trailer that also has a sign in it, and it was pointed out that the trailer is actually blocking the bike lane. So I'm just wondering, is there... What sort of requirements do we have for first floors and signs? And
okay. On the downtown first floor issue, what the downtown ordinance says is that you can't have an office on the first floor unless you go through this Main Street review process. And typically we explain that that's because we want, you know, retail on the first floor. But retail is not the only use that's allowed on the first floor within the downtown. It's just the easiest one to explain. Tattoo shops under our code are personal services, and personal services are allowed by right on the first floor throughout the downtown. So it would be an allowable use on the first floor. Our code is very permissive when it comes to tattoo parlors. We treat them basically the same as a beauty shop. So you could have them anywhere. There's no setback proximity or requirements for them to be separated or that sort of thing. So we're very permissive with tattoo shops. So they would be allowed downtown on the first floor.
Okay.
In terms of the sign on a vehicle issue, we are aware of the case with the restaurant, with the truck. We've checked with the city attorney on it. The way our code reads is the truck's wrapped with decals promoting the business. Those are allowed because anything that's permanently attached to a vehicle is not considered a sign. So the truck is okay. The A-frame sign in the back of the truck or the sign on the trailer, both are considered signs and are not allowed. And we have... or I have sent a note to the code enforcement officer, which is in the fire department, specifically on that case, letting him know that, you know, when he sees that truck out, if it has a sign on it, that he's supposed to notify him that the sign's not allowed. The truck's okay anywhere in town, but it can't have a sign attached to it, and the trailer's not okay.
All right.
If I could just add to that, the sign that's blocking the bike lane, I was notified of that today, and that's a completely different issue. Nobody can block a bike lane. We notified the business that they cannot put that sign in the bike lane.
Ah, okay. Thank you. A couple of other items, and this has been a month of folks complaining. The police have suggested the only remedy is for this family to contact neighbors and have a citizen petition filed. Is there, what can be done to protect their peace and quiet?
Yeah, the petition process is something that's described in the code, but on roosters you don't have to go through the petition. They should come down to City Hall, just fill out a code enforcement complaint form. Code enforcement officer deals with roosters all the time throughout Atascadero. So
what's the issue with roosters? Tell me where I can find that.
They're too noisy.
I know, but if you live on a large lot, you know, if you, that was one of the things. If you're on large acreage, I thought you could.
I'm not exactly sure what the determination is. All I know is that the code enforcement officer does go out and enforce that you can't have a crowing rooster.
Well.
So. This
isn't a large lot.
Would you please give me the citation for that? Because I took some roosters from somebody, and my neighbors aren't complaining, but people further away are complaining. And I live on almost 2 acres, and my both neighbors on all sides, you know, have an acre or 2 acres, but it's somebody further away. And I even checked to see, you know, if you could take care of a rooster's crowing, and it's very expensive, something you wouldn't want to do because that's the nature of a rooster.
But they're edible.
And nobody wants roosters. I've been trying to get rid of them.
Yeah, I'll check and see what
I really would like
section
to know.
It's in, because I don't know off the top of my head, but I'll check on that. But in terms of the neighbor that does have a complaint, just have them fill out the form,
okay,
and then they'll go to code enforcement. The code enforcement officer will start a case on it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, another item. Local citizen also over off Ardea commented on the landscaping, the condition of the landscaping at the dealership, the closed Mitsubishi dealership on San Paolo. Since it's the entrance to the city, they were concerned that it looks rather shoddy and does not present a good picture of people coming in. Is there something we can do? I know that that's part of the, isn't that part of the conditions of...
Yeah, it's part of the condition, working on getting another dealer in there. So, you know, we're fairly confident we're going to get a new dealer in there, and part of them getting opened up will be to get all the landscaping repaired and whatnot. We'll go out there and take a look at it.
Okay.
I did look at it today. You know, obviously a lot of the landscaping, the ground cover's dead, the shrubs are still green. It's not overgrown with weeds, so it's not real attractive, but it hasn't really risen to the level of a true nuisance yet either. So I think what we'll do is we'll monitor the situation and see if we get a new dealer, you know, in the next month or so. If it continues to be an area where it just, you know, gets worse and worse, then we'll start, you know, dealing with the owner on some sort of cleanup measure.
Okay.
Well, why doesn't the owner have some responsibility after his tenant leaves?
He does.
So does that answer your question? It's the owner's responsibility.
It is the owner's response. Yes, it answers my question. And as we discussed, maybe we can update on the windows at Mission Oaks, the painted over windows, the covered windows.
Yeah, we've checked our code. There's not a specific code section in that area. In the downtown, we do have rules about blocking windows. We don't have those rules outside the downtown zone. So they aren't violating a code we can enforce. But we do understand there's a concern. We've heard it from commission and number of members of the public. I talked with the Chamber of Commerce and Main Street about it. We're actually trying to arrange a business visit. We do a monthly visit to different businesses, and we are going to go try to schedule them for the next visit and talk to them about specifically just the appearance issue and see if we can get them to take some sort of action to improve kind of their curbside appeal of the front of their business, because obviously I think it's going to be in the long-term interest of the business. We're also going to contact the shopping center owner and try to encourage them to work with the business to come up with a better solution for, you know, how those windows look, because I think that's going to ultimately hurt the leasability of the rest of the center. So we're trying to find a way to facilitate some sort of fix out there, but we don't have a hammer out there, so we're going to have to use carrots out there.
Thank you.
Commissioner O'Grady.
I think it's a sense of this commission that we don't want that sort of thing to happen again. And so I would ask staff
how you'd like to see things modified to regulate that sort of situation.
Sounds fine to me. It's truly heartening for me to hear that the city has expertise in rooster control.
And failed septics.
But I had been planning on making a suggestion perhaps for discussion at the quarterly meeting with the council and commission about code enforcement. Currently, it's strikes me it's a side job for the fire department and is not one of their priority items. Other towns, I think, make it more of a priority, and they're, and I think it shows in the way those cities look. And I know Atascadero is really aspiring to improve our appearance. I know I've read commentary from the chamber. There's been a sign ordinance and other things I can't think of at the moment that are all directed at making Atascadero look better and put our best foot forward. And I would suggest that a different approach to code enforcement would also further that goal. And just to start perhaps with baby steps, nothing really expensive at all, would be to hire a contractor or a consultant, an architect, I think. Some architects do have broad expertise in building, city planning, and the like, and just hire them on an hourly basis. You can budget however many hours a month you want them to spend, and all he'd have to do is drive up and down El Camino, and he could find all kinds of signage, trucks blocking bike paths, and you would, I think, get a much more timely reporting on some of these issues and not wait for citizens to get upset with the way things look. So I would appreciate it if that there could be that discussion with the council and just see what their take is on that. I also see where Atascadero has hired a law firm. Forget where they're from, but it could also be discussed and perhaps made a priority. I'm also curious, do you know what the, I assume the law firm's on retainer. What are we paying this law firm?
We have hired, or we're in the process of hiring a new firm. The council has selected Burke Sorensen as our new firm. They're located in Southern California. They're going to service us from their Ventura office. Our city attorney will be Brian Pyrick. He did attend the last council meeting. He's right now working under an interim contract. We did interviews with, I think, five or six firms before selecting Burke as the preferred firm. We did, part of that was an analysis of what we thought the cost of each firm would be. Almost every firm had more or less the same cost when you figured out, you know, they all build differently, but it all kind of adds up the same in the end. The estimate basically for all the firms was going to be around $20,000 a month service contract. One of the items that the city clerk is planning on working with this new attorney on is a cleanup of the municipal code. That is something that the clerk has been trying to get done for a number of years, and that is one of the priority items for the new firm. And we do believe this firm is large enough and experienced enough that they'll be able to provide that service to the city.
Warren, what was the figure you gave? I didn't hear it.
$20,000 a month.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? If not, we'll move on to the director's report.
Yes, just a couple items real quick. Your next meeting is scheduled for December 4th. We were hoping to have the Carl's Jr. CUP on that agenda, but they haven't been able to get all their information into us, so we won't be hearing that until December 18th. So right now, we don't have any items for the 4th. Some, you know, non-hearing item like a tree removal may pop up, and we'll have a meeting if that happens. So there's a possibility we won't have a meeting. There's a possibility we will have a meeting. Either way, it'll be a short meeting. I think the commission asked for copies of the redevelopment plan at the last meeting. Did you all receive your copies of those? Okay, good. Copies to
okay,
everyone
I think,
on those.
I think they would like to see them.
I will get you copies of the brochure.
It's very well done.
One question of
yes.
Mr. Frace. You mentioned that there is nothing on our agenda yet for December 4th and said something about maybe a tree removal might show up. But if that's all we have as of December 4th, could we just put the tree removal on the subsequent meeting and not meet for just a tree removal?
Yes. Well, tell you what, we'll try not to have a meeting unless there's something that's very pressing. Sometimes there's like a weird emergency kind of tree thing that, you know, but if the commission would rather just wait until the 18th and not have a meeting, that's fairly easily done because we're past our noticing period at this point.
Sure, so unless an applicant shows up with the project. I mean, we certainly don't want to deter anyone like that. But
when can you tell us? What kind of notice can we have? I know it takes time to put the packets together, so what's your drop-dead date?
Today was for any real project. So all we could put on there right now is something that doesn't require a legal notice, which would only be a tree removal, and that's why I don't expect that we're going to have a meeting. And if the commission would rather not have a meeting at all, that's pretty easy to arrange at this point.
Okay, Commissioner Jack has a
question. Is there any of the training that we've talked about in the past that might be appropriate for that time slot?
Probably not, just because we're going to want the new city attorney to do that training, and he's just getting up to speed. So that's something probably come the first of the year we'll start to get up to speed on, but we're not ready yet.
Okay.
Meeting is adjourned.